can be seated.
Let's pray together. Father, we look forward to that day when your church is complete and the earth is filled with your glory. We do pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray today for the many in our church family who very recently have lost mothers. We have mothers in this congregation who have lost husbands. And we just pray, Father, that this day would be a day of great blessing and hope for that wonderful day that we're talking about. Open your word to us this morning, and we just pray that your Spirit would implant the word in our hearts, that it would grow as we go from here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you that were here for Marcia's funeral, you will know what I'm talking about. There's a little false rumor going around the church that if you tell me I preached a good sermon, I'm going to give you a quiz on it. It's not going to happen, okay? So keep on coming with the encouragement. It's really appreciated. Speaking of false rumors, I will have to say that I did lie this week. But I bet a lot of you did too. I read a statement that said, "I have fully read and understood completely all the terms and conditions of this agreement." And I checked the little box, yes, thinking I can't even see the print, much less read this agreement. Here's a good example of why we just check the box without even reading the small print. Pastor Al, have you ever heard of Westpac credit card? Or Westpac?
Yes.
They're based in Australia. Here's an actual sentence from a brochure by Westpac describing their international travel insurance. Just this little piece of the pie. It's 84 pages long. And this is what we call an overloaded sentence. A cardholder becomes eligible for this overseas travel insurance when, before leaving Australia on an overseas journey, they have a return overseas travel ticket and $500 of each of their prepaid travel costs, like costs of their return overseas travel ticket and/or airport/departure taxes, and/or their prepaid overseas accommodation/travel, and/or their other prepaid overseas itinerary items have all been charged to the cardholder's eligible credit card account. What in the world are they saying there? 71 words in that one sentence. Well, I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul can be worse. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, we are in the middle of a sentence, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, which is a sentence in the Greek New Testament which is 105 words long. Paul was a very complex writer, a deep thinker with a lot to say, and he gets so complex at times that even the Apostle Peter wrote in his second letter, there are some things in Paul's letters that are hard to understand. And we are trying to unravel those things as we move through the book of Colossians, but they are such awesome things. I'm not going to read this sentence in the Greek, but here's a photograph. I don't know how much of that you can see, but this is a copy of one page of Paul's epistles. This copy goes all the way back to 200 A.D., It's not Paul's handwriting, it's the handwriting of a copier who copied a portion of one of his epistles. Can you imagine sorting out these things? If you look at that, that's, of course, it's in Greek rather than English. It's also all capital letters. They did not have small letters at this time. Also, there is no spaces in between the letters at all. There's no punctuation marks in these original autographs of the scripture. There's no commas, no periods, no colons, no parentheses, and all that type of thing. No study notes, no verses, no chapters. It's all just big blocks of capital letters jammed together. And then the translator has to go in and try to figure all that out. We are so blessed to have the Word of God as we have it. And I encourage you this morning, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that has come through these 2,000 years to get the New Testament to us. So I recommend highly that you pick it up, read it, study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Don't just check the box and say, I believe that, okay, I'm done. Because when you get into it, for what it is life-changing. Colossians chapter 1, we continue to extract and apply the meaning and the meat of this long, long sentence. Now, the English Standard Version, if you're using that, actually divides it into two English sentences. So let's read that from Colossians, our review from Colossians verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So last week, we were reminded that Paul is praying faithfully for these new believers in the city of Colossae. He is asking God to fill them with the knowledge of His will, which is the Word of God, in spiritual wisdom and understanding. And then we are told that if they are filled with the knowledge of His will, what happens? Their walk is worthy, their witness is fruitful, and their wisdom is going to be increasing. Now, as we move to verses 11 and 12, if you look at the actual words of Paul, it's not such a neat, clean, alliterative outline that he throws at us. Paul's writings are always full of participles dangling here and there and moving from this subject to another and going down this rabbit trail. By rabbit trail, I don't mean that negatively, but just a godly thought that came to him inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. What we want to do this morning is look more closely at that third participle you saw up there from verse 11, being strengthened with power. We're just going to focus on this verse and on this thought this morning. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience. We're going to stop right there. What we are thinking about this morning is the quality of our Christian life called endurance and patience. May you be there in verse 11. Literally, is when Paul wrote it, he was saying you are being strengthened. When you are growing in the knowledge of His will by the Word of God, it's not just may you be, it's happening. Paul says you will be strengthened with all power. Actually, there's a really neat little word game here being played by Paul that just does not come across in the English. One commentator, he said, what Paul is doing here, he's piling on and piling up to really emphasize this truth. And so we're going to sit on it this morning and think about it. First of all, he's piling up by using the same word here in verse 11. You read the word strength and power. But in actuality, it's really the same word that he wrote in the Greek language just a slightly different form of that word. In other words, you really shouldn't use two different English words here, strengthened and power. Paul used one word here. It's like we were to say, I am putting an emphasis, I'm putting an emphasis on this truth by emphasizing it. Or I am saying an emphasis, emphasizing my point, okay? That's what Paul is really doing here. If you want to know, it's dunamai, dunamumenoi. Two similar words, they come from the same root. If we were to put that in a good English translation, it would really say literally, with power, we are being powered up. Paul is trying to emphasize, and then he adds another word here in verse 11. All, the little word all. Here's where they say, now he's piling on. So he's piling up and he's piling on for this huge emphasis, saying to us with every means possible, with every tool that you can bring to the table, we are being powered up with power. Last Christmas was a lot different than a lot of Christmases that we've experienced through our lifetimes because of COVID. For us, it was very different because my wife was, tested positive on Christmas Eve. And so we had to cancel Christmas because everyone was on lockdown. Next day after Christmas, I was tested positive for COVID. And then we begin to all fall like dominoes, and I think most all of us got it during that Christmas season. And some of you went through some much more trying times involving COVID and Christmas. Hopefully this Christmas will be much different. And I think that some families are going to probably go all out with Christmas season of 2021 to make up for 2020. If I can put it this way, it would be as if the head decorator in charge of Christmas decorations at your house would come to you and say, with all and any and every decoration available, I will be decorating this house. Okay? That is what Paul is saying to us here. He wants us fully decorated. Spiritually speaking, he is saying we can be fully equipped, fully prepared. Power of every kind can come to us, endowed with all capability for all endurance and patience. For all endurance and patience. There's another qualifier here. Paul loves to use a lot of prepositions as well, and there's a preposition in there that's according to. May you be strengthened, or you will be strengthened, with power upon power, according to his glorious might. The word might there. When we hear the word might, we tend to think of some really big, strong, powerful machine or guy or something. It has more to do with his power, that is, his authority. His power and authority to make available to you all of the power that you need to succeed in the Christian life. And I think it's primarily, as we look at the whole scripture, the Holy Spirit of God that is brought to us for that power. So this participle here, this promise that he makes to us, that if we are feasting on the Word of God, getting to know the Word of God by all spiritual insight, you will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I know a pastor that whenever he performs a marriage ceremony, if the bride and groom give him an honorarium, he turns around and gives that honorarium back to them as a gift. And I was thinking, what if I, as a pastor, was really generous to newly married couples, and I were, it's too late for this now, so it's not going to happen, but if I were to say, man, I just really love marrying new couples, I have a special gift for you. I want you to have your dream home. I want you to be able to build the home that you want for yourself right now. And I've made all the arrangements with my bank. All you have to do is go down to the bank. I've given them all the papers. I've given them all the codes. And your picture, all you got to do is walk down to the bank and draw out of my account everything you need for your dream home. So you head down to the bank, and before too long, you're walking out of the bank with a very puzzled and sad look on your face, because there ain't much in that account to give to you a dream home. How different it would be if, let's say, the richest family in the world said the same thing to you. Do you know who the richest family in the world is? It's the Waltons. I got to drive them around one day, the Walton family here in Indianapolis. Yes, I'm name dropping. Sorry. The Waltons are worth $215 billion, twice as much as any other family in the whole world. So let's say the Walton said to you, I want you to go and get your dream home, and go the same thing, and you go to their account, and you're like, how are we going to spend any of this money? By the way, do you know what the most valued home on this whole earth is? It's Buckingham Palace, valued at $5 billion. That's number one. So you could buy about 50 Buckingham Palaces with the money that the Waltons had. I'm simply saying this to say to you, okay, their might is in the money. His might is in his glory and his authority. What you've got to understand here is his might is far greater, far better than that $250 billion. As a matter of fact, it's infinite. The power of his might that is available to you. With all power powering up. Now, I want you to understand what this power is really about. Sometimes there's a lot of confusion about this word power that we're looking at. Dunamis. Dunamis sounds a little bit like dynamite, right? And pastors all over the place will say, the word dunamis is the word for which we get our English word dynamite. It's power. Dynamic. Wow, I can't do that. When you really study it, this word dunamis, it's come a long way in 1,500 years. And when it's written by Paul, it had nothing to do with the power of dynamite. It came through the years to mean something like that when they decided to use this word for dynamite. But when Paul wrote this word, it was a lot different. Let's say that he meant it as an inward strength, a power that fully enables you and equips you and gives you tools of every kind to be able to endure and to be able to have patience. What we're talking about here primarily is that everyday power to get through the struggles of Monday through Saturday life. And we need that power, hour by hour power. Monday through Saturday, I say, because we're here in church on Sunday, but we got struggles on Sunday as well. Endurance, resolute perseverance, under difficult circumstances. Look at those last two words. Endurance is one, patience is the other. Endurance is resolute perseverance under difficult circumstances. What circumstances are we talking about? Well, some of the circumstances we talked about Friday, the circumstances of the curse. A simple thing like a stubbed left pinky that won't stop bleeding and won't start healing, like I have right now. The loss of a wife, a mother, a husband, a father, a son, which in the last 7 months has hit this congregation hard. Or all the way to unspeakable tragedies that cause us to say, where is God? Why does God allow this? The answer is not in some short little quippy saying, some short little poem. The answer comes from the Word of God and the applied knowledge of the Scriptures. Circumstances of failed expectations and disappointments. We had a great lesson Wednesday night from Joe Stoll, learning to respond to disappointments, failed expectations, learning how to respond not selfishly to these things, but, you know, how can I be a blessing to others in these situations? It was good. You ought to come on Wednesday nights. Circumstances of a changing culture are going to be strong. Learning how not to sink with the culture that is sinking fast. Learning how not to fret over our culture because of evildoers. Learning how to persevere in our faith when we are in a persecuted and we're going to be in a very small minority. The ones who revel in the Savior, we better be prepared. It's coming. Endurance, resolute perseverance under difficult circumstances. The second word is patience. The word patience is a response to people. This is more toward people in which you do not retaliate. So the first one is circumstances. The second word has to do with our response to people, a response that does not retaliate when someone gets under our skin or rubs us the wrong way or stands in our way and all of those things. I've had a rough week on the road. I don't know about you, but it seems like all the crazies are out there this week, I'll tell you, at least in our neighborhood. I was pulling out of one street that had two lanes, going to turn right onto a major street. There was cars in front of me in both lanes, and I saw a car coming the opposite direction fast with its blinker on to turn left. And I thought, where are they going to turn left? First of all, there's about a four-car space in front of me where there's a median between the two lanes. Well, I noticed in the corner of my eye, this car was flying, and it made a U-turn around the median, came into the lane next to me. My lane was bumper to bumper with traffic. For some reason, this person decided they were going to just push their way in front of my car. And if I hadn't veered out of the way of this person, they would have hit me, and I think they wanted to hit me. And so my mind began thinking, how am I going to deal with this? I am so upset. I didn't retaliate. I did follow them for a while, very closely, till they pulled into a gas station, probably to escape this mean old man. And my long suffering was a little bit short. It's been a little bit short all week with drivers. Drivers is just kind of a fun thing. It's the things that we deal with every day in our relationships that we need patience for. You know, the power of the Holy Ghost that we need most often are the fruits of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's real power. The producing of those fruits, the producing of any fruit, takes a while. It's not some explosive event. It's the grueling task of getting into the Word of God, of abiding in the vine and experiencing fruit. If you went out to watch a fruit tree grow, you wouldn't notice anything. You'd probably sit there for a few hours and decide, this is fruitless. I didn't mean that. But if you came back a month later when it was bearing fruit and took a big chunk of that delicious apple, you would say, you know what? Slow, steady growth makes sense. And most of us need that patience every day, every hour with people, that the fruit of the Spirit of God, which comes from a knowledge and application of the Word of God, brings to us. So the two words that we're looking at and thinking about are patience and endurance, which the Lord promises us through His power that is available. I close with this little thought. Lady told a story about her little child, 7-year-old daughter, that decided she wanted to take violin lessons. And so the mother went to the violin store and rented an instrument and set up some lessons, some beginner's lessons for the young lady. And on the way to her first lesson, she said, "Now, I really want you to know that I'm sticking my neck out here for you. This violin is kind of expensive, and so are the lessons. So I want you to just hang in there. Even when it seems like you're not making much progress, even like it seems when it seems like it's just too hard, keep trying over and over again. Keep trying. Don't give up." And the little girl nodded, and in her most serious voice said, "So it will be just like marriage, right, Mommy?" And I think she hit the nail right on the head. It's our everyday relationships where sometimes we tend to want to give up and quit and decide it's not worth it, whether it's husband, wife, parents, children, friend to friend, brother to brother, worker to worker, classmate to classmate. This is where it's at. This is where we need these things. So, when you are filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, you will be walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. You will be bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And you will be being powered up with power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience. Joy will come next week. Father, we thank You so much for the power that is available to us. It's found in Your Word. It's found in growing in our knowledge of the Word and of Your will and experiencing the disciplines of the Word of God so that we slowly but surely and steadily grow with the fruits of the Spirit and the power of God flows through us. Lord, help us today to learn more of how to grow and where to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.